This hour, the podcast is exclusively sponsored by my good friends at Advantage Gold. Advantage Gold is a five-star rated gold company with one-of-a-kind customer service. And when it comes to gold and precious metals, Advantage Gold is the only company I'll work with. Call Advantage Gold today and make sure you let them know that Mark Levin sent you. And now, let's begin.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. Of course, we will get into this issue of what's going on in Manhattan in a little bit. But before we do, have you ever heard of Hatem Bazian, Mr. Producer? Anybody in America, have you ever heard of Hatem Bazian? H-A-T-E-M, new word, B-A-Z-I-A-N. Well, you should. You should know who Hatem Bazian is. He is the founder of the anti-Israel organization Student for Justice in Palestine and the American Muslims for Palestine. And as of 2021, he served as chairman for the American Muslims for Palestine. This from canarymission.org. Bazian has spread classic anti-Semitism, reportedly promoted religious anti-Semitism, denied Jewish peoplehood and Jewish history, and has compared Israel to Nazi Germany. I believe this is Charlie Kirk's group, but I'm not sure. Bazian has called for intifada in America. That means the annihilation by violence of the Jews. Defended the Hamas terror group, expressed support for terrorists, and fundraised for a Hamas-linked charity. He has politicized academic coursework and demonized Israel and Zionists. Bazian is also a leader within the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions, BDS movement. Now, as of March 2021, Bazian was a lecturer in the Department of Ethnic Studies at the University of California, Berkeley, UC Berkeley, where he founded the Center for the Study of Documentation of Islamophobia in 2009. As of the same date, Bazian was the provost, co-founder, and faculty member of Zifuna College for Muslim Studies. As a graduate student, he reportedly headed the General Union of Palestine Students at San Francisco State University and the Muslim Students Association at UC Berkeley. Man gets around. Bazian is affiliated with, if not now, INN, has spoken before Muslim American Society and the Islamic Circle of North America. Bazian writes prolifically against Israel, publishing his work on his personal website and other online sites, including Mandawas, an electronic intifada. He's the author of a 2016 anti-Israel book titled Palestine, It Is Something Colonial. Stick with me. You want to know more about this man because he, in part, is responsible for what you're seeing in our colleges and universities with Students for Justice in Palestine, which he founded. Bazian retweeted a July 31, 2017 tweet featuring anti-Semitic imagery and accusing a, quote, Zionist of supporting the theft of Palestinian land and resources and body organs, and apartheid and occupation and ethnic cleansing and genocide. The tweet Bazian retweeted included an image of a man dressed in Orthodox Jewish garb, captioned with the words, Mom, look, is chosen. I can now kill, rape, smuggle organs, and steal the land of Palestinians. Yay! Ashkenazi, a.k.a. Ashkenazi. The tweet included another image of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un wearing a kippah, that is, a kippah. And, let's see here, somebody's trying to call me, and obviously I can't pick it up, but it interfered with my reading. It was captioned, 101 Judaism, we teach it, God chose me, and I just converted all North Korea to Judaism, Donald Trump, now my nukes are legal, and I can annex South Korea, and you need to start paying me $34 billion a year in welfare. On November 21, 2017, he issued an apology for the anti-Semitic retweet, saying he tweeted it without giving it much thought. But as of December 20, 2018, Bazian was still listed on the anti-Semitic tweet as having retweeted it. It goes on, case after case after case. Case after case after case. In 2002, Bazian reportedly led a protest against the arrests of 79 of the SJP, Students for Justice in Palestine, members at UC Berkeley for having attempted to disrupt a Holocaust Remembrance Day event. He told protesters to look at the Jewish names on the school building and said, take a look at the type of names on the buildings around campus. Haas, Zellerbach, decide who controls this university. In 1994, he was reportedly an organizer and featured speaker at a press conference to support a mural depicting Malcolm X's face, surrounded by dollar signs, yellow stars of David, skulls and crossbones, and words, African blood. Jewish students were reportedly forcibly excluded from the event. As a graduate student at San Francisco State University, in the 1980s and 90s, Bazian reportedly helped foment an anti-Semitic environment that has persisted for over a decade at that school. As president of the students of the SFSU, that is the student body, Associated Students and Student Union Governing Board, he reportedly blocked the appointment of Jewish students to the Student Judicial Council because the student, quote, supported the State of Israel and was therefore, by definition, a racist. He's promoting religious anti-Semitism, denying Jewish history and peoplehood, comparing Israel to Nazi Germany, calling for an American intifada, defending repeatedly Hamas and their terrorism, supporting terrorists, fundraising for a Hamas-linked charity, politicizing coursework, anti-Israel activism, demonizing Israel and Zionists. And this SJP, the Students for Justice in Palestine, it's an organization, a vile organization, first founded in 2001, the University of California, Berkeley, by Professor Hallam Bazian. Bazian spread classic anti-Semitism, reportedly promoted religious anti-Semitism and defended the Hamas terror group. He's called for violence in America, the Intifada in America. This group has been a major force in pushing the anti-Semitic boycott, divestment, sanctions movement on campuses. Chapters have initiated dozens of BDS resolutions and student groups, which have been proposed on or around Jewish holidays, a time when many Jewish students are off campus. And their activists have reportedly physically assaulted, intimidated, and harassed Jewish students, disrupted pro-Israel campus events and demonized pro-Israel campus organizations. The American Muslims for Palestine, which he also founded as a UC Berkeley professor, use it as a vehicle to generate mainstream support in the United States for the Palestinian national cause. On its website, the organization lists Bazian as the chairman of its national board, describes itself as, quote, a national education and grassroots-based organization dedicated to educating the American public about Palestine and the rich culture, historical, and religious heritage. The Anti-Defamation League has accused the group of promoting extreme anti-Israel views and has at times provided a platform for anti-Semitism under the guise of educating Americans about Palestinians. And they further stated that AMP is directly involved in campus-based anti-Israel activity through Students for Justice in Palestine. Now, prior to founding this group in 2006, Professor Bazian created the Students for Justice in Palestine together with UC Berkeley professor Shnahal Shnigavi in 2001. And the close working relationship between AMP and SJP has been documented several times over the years by several groups. Now, in addition to providing financial, public relations, and legal assistance to these groups, he's also been accused of having connections to Hamas. The AMP National Board includes four members of both the Islamic Association of Palestine and the Holy Land Foundation, both of which were found liable for aiding and abetting Hamas. The IAP was founded by Musa Muhammad Abu Marzouk, a senior member of Hamas. And he goes on, as you can see, this guy is a real slimeball. A real slimeball. You should write down his name so you remember it. Hatem Bazian. Much of what you're seeing taking place in our universities and colleges is a result of what he's been doing and what he's been saying. Many of these signs, many of the slogans are his. He's a professor. He's a professor. Now, if I'm aware of him, I would assume that the media are aware of him. And given his connections and his networks and his associations, I would assume that he would be treated at least as the Proud Boys. No, Mr. Producer? Is he being monitored? Are they looking at his social media over there at the Federal Bureau of Investigation? Are they checking him out? Are they? Are they looking at the money flows into his groups and out of his groups? The Hamas funding network is alive and well in the United States. I'm just curious. How about the universities that employ him? Are they concerned about him? Are they looking at him? Are they considering removing him and intifada in the United States? Really? And he goes beyond anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism and anti-Israel and all the rest of it. This guy is a hateful POS. And the groups he founded are the same. They're not interested in two-state solutions. They're not interested. No. They're interested in annihilation of the state of Israel, which means the annihilation of the Jews, river to the sea. That's what it means. How can this man be a professor at any of our universities? Promoting what he promotes, organizing what he promotes. This isn't First Amendment stuff. This is Final Solution stuff. Now, there's everybody talking about this George Soros money now backing the protesters. I don't know, Mr. Producer, I did this on Fox 2 weeks ago. I've been doing it on this program for many days, have I not? Well, it's good to know people have awakened to this, because when we come back, I will tell you what they're now saying about George Soros. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Our once mighty dollar's under siege from runaway inflation. For those still working, your paychecks buy less while costs for gas, food, cars, utilities skyrocket thanks to inflation. That's why I'm urging all my listeners to register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. It's a fantastic seminar. They'll teach you how to take steps to help guard your wealth from inflation using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver hold intrinsic value that should remain untouched by government manipulation. Folks, don't wait for the Fed's reckless policies to completely devalue the dollar and steal your life savings. Call now while free registration is open. I'm telling you, this is a fantastic seminar. Call 800-900-8000 right now. The Gold and Silver Summit could provide the vital insights we need to protect our families. 800-900-8000. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional. It's time to expose the Islamists who are behind these activities, like this so-called professor in California who I discussed. You can go on my social sites and see links to him, and you can enter his name in whatever search engine you use, and you can see all about him. This is a very evil, diabolical Jew hater, an American hater. And he's right here in the United States with all kinds of networks and tentacles to all the wrong people. The New York Post has a story. George Soros is paying student radicals who are fueling nationwide explosion of Israel-hating protests. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can also go to my social sites, and you'll see I've posted once or twice an entire monologue that I've done on this subject with extensive details that provide this information to you. But I want to thank the New York Post, Isabel Vincent, not for your references to me, of which there are none, but for at least getting on the bandwagon here. It's very important. George Soros and his hard-left acolytes are paying agitators who are fueling the explosion of radical anti-Israel protests at colleges across the country. It's not radical anti-Israel protests. These are Hitler Youth. They want to exterminate the Jews. They want to destroy the United States of America. The protests, which began when students took over Columbia University's Morningside Heights campus lawn last week, have mushroomed nationwide. Copycat tent cities have been set up at colleges including Harvard and Yale, Berkeley in California, The Ohio State University, Emory in Georgia, all of them organized by branches of Soros-funded Students for Justice in Palestine. So I just told you the name of the radical Islamist professor who founded that organization and effectively controls it, how they put franchises for the Hitler Youth, that is, for this SJP throughout the country. And so it's also being funded by Soros. So now you have this Islamist professor and the Marxist Soros. George Soros is paying agitators who are fueling this explosion. The SJP, Students for Justice in Palestine, parent organization, has been funded by a network of nonprofits, ultimately funded by, among others, Soros, the billionaire left-wing investor. At three colleges, the protests are being encouraged by paid radicals, who are so-called fellows of a Soros-funded group called the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights. This group provides up to $7,800 for its community-based fellows and between $2,800 and $3,660 for its campus-based fellows. And I'll continue this after the break, ladies and gentlemen. But this is very, very important. The Islamists and the Marxists, the Democrat Party billionaires and dark money that I've been talking about over and over and over again, the media need to continue to help me expose this. And then we need to ask, where are the oversight committees in Congress? Where's the Federal Bureau of Investigation and where's immigration? I'll be right back. Attention, fellow Americans. Mark Levin here with a warning and a solution. I feel like our country's being destroyed by out-of-control spending and debt thanks to Biden and the American Marxists. And your hard-earned savings and retirement could be at risk from their socialist schemes. That's why you should consider Advantage Gold, the best of the best, a U.S.-based company that specializes in helping everyday Americans protect their wealth. They have a simple solution to help you even potentially grow your wealth despite the attacks from Washington. I urge you to register for their upcoming Gold and Silver Summit. It's fabulous. A free online event where you'll learn tips to help safeguard your finances by diversifying into physical precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. Call them right now to sign up securely for this pivotal summit. It is crucial. Tell them Mark Levin sent you for a special bonus. Call 800-900-8000 right now. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
You're listening to Denali, the great one.
The great one.
And you can call in now, 877-381-3811.
So this Islamist who preaches death to Jews, death to Israel, from the safety of academia in America, forms these Islamist organizations within our country, like Students for Justice in Palestine, for now on SJP. They're on many campuses throughout the country, as you can see from the various Hitler Youth movements that have been rising up. And Basiem, that group, is heavily funded by the Soros Open Society Foundations. Soros is the biggest sugar daddy for the Democrat Party as well. And also the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. I pointed this out 2 weeks ago as well. Again, I've posted my opening statements on this issue two times on our social media, if you want to check it out, where it's much more comprehensive than these articles. But again, I'm not opposed to these articles. In fact, the New York Post has been very good about digging into much of this stuff. Very few media outlets have been. Some have smothered them. CNN, MSNBC, and their ilk don't want to tell you about Professor Basiem, don't want to tell you about the funding for SJP, that Soros is behind it, other Democrat billionaires are behind it, dark money, Democrat Party groups, and they launder the money through these organizations like the Tides Foundation and others to get the money to foment radicalism. Now, this article, which is a very good article, by the way, says that these people who are trained and funded agitators by Soros, they are trained to, quote, rise up to revolution, quote, unquote. The radical group received at least $300,000 from the Soros Open Society Fund since 2017, also took in $355,000 from the Rockefeller Brothers Fund since 2019. It has three fellows, quote, unquote, who have been major figures in the nationwide protest movement. Nad Alafi, a former president of the University of Texas Students for Justice in Palestine, was seen at an encampment at UT Dallas on Wednesday making a speech demanding an end to the war in Gaza. Alafi, a former legislative intern for the late Democratic Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson. You see the fusion of the Islamists, the Marxists, and the Democrat Party and their funders. It's all there. She graduated from the school last year with a degree in global business, is now a law student at Southern Methodist University in Dallas. January, she was detained for blocking the route of President Biden's motorcade after he arrived in Dallas for the funeral of Johnson, her former boss. At Yale, fellow Craig Burkhead Morton was arrested Monday and charged with first-degree trespassing when the SJP branch, Yalis for Palestine, that is Yalis, occupied the school's Benique Plaza, the Yale Daily News reported. Burkhead Morton, also a former intern for a Democrat from Maryland, Representative John Sarbanes, emerged from custody to address a sit-in blocking traffic in New Haven. The most high-profile fellows is Berkeley's Malach Afna, co-president of the Berkeley Law Students for Justice in Palestine. She's been a serial speaker at anti-Israel protests on campuses this week, which came after she first shot to prominence by hijacking a dinner at the law school dean's home to shout anti-Israel slogans, then accused the dean's wife of assaulting her when she asked her, that is the radical, to leave. Now, the cash from Soros and his acolytes has been critical to the Columbia protests that set off the national copycat demonstrations. Three groups set up the tent city on the Columbia's lawn last Wednesday. This group, Students for Justice in Palestine, Jewish Voice for Peace, which is an anti-Israel, believe it or not, Marxist organization, and Within Our Lifetime, at the so-called Gaza Solidarity Encampment, students sleep in tents apparently ordered from Amazon and enjoy delivery pizza, coffee from Dunkin' Donuts, free sandwiches worth $12.50 from Pret and Manger, organic tortilla chips, and $10 rotisserie chickens. Mm-hmm. We don't want our little Hitler youth to go hungry, do we, Mr. Producer? The analysis by the Post shows that all three got cash from groups linked to Soros. The Rockefeller Brothers Fund also gave cash to the Jewish Voice for Peace. Now, the fund is chaired by Joseph Pearson and includes David Rockefeller Jr., a fourth-generation member of the oil dynasty on its board of directors. That's why these big, wealthy entrepreneurs need to get rid of their money, not give it to kids, not give it to foundations. The foundations are always taken over by the radical left. And by the time you get to the fourth generation, these are kooks who've earned nothing, trust fund babies, as they call them, who turn to radical activism. Now, this nonprofit gives money to, quote, sustainable development, unquote, and, quote, peace building. And a former Wall Street banker, Felice Gelman, a retired investment banker, has dedicated her Wall Street fortune to pro-Palestinian causes. She funds all three groups. Stick with me. Both SJP and JVP were expelled from Columbia University in November for threatening rhetoric and intimidation. JVP blamed Israel for the October 7 Hamas terrorist attack that left 1,200 Israelis butchered, raped, murdered. Both SJP and JVP were expelled from Columbia. Israel apartheid and occupation and United States complicity in that oppression are the source of all the violence, JVP said in a statement on its website. SJP called the terrorist strike on Israel a historic win. This is this Professor Mazium's group. It's a historic win, terrorism. A historic win. An analysis by the New York Post shows how Soros and Gelman's cash made its way to students through a network of nonprofits that help obscure their contributions. Soros has given billions to the Open Society Foundation, which his son Alexander, we've talked about that, whose partner is Uma Abedin. We didn't know that. Uma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's top aide and the estranged wife of pervert Anthony Weiner, now controls. Got that? Soros has given billions to the Open Society Foundations, which his son Alexander, whose partner is Uma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's top aide, now controls. In turn, Open Society has given more than $20 million to the Tides Foundation, a progressive, a.k.a. Marxist, nonprofit fiscal sponsor that then sends the cash to smaller groups. So Soros, as the Svengali, moves money through these front groups, gets the money out to the radicals, funds the revolutionaries, Marxists and Islamists. Bazium, the professor, founds these radical Islamist Jew-hating organizations and helps place them on the college campuses. And you see the ties to members, Democrats in Congress, to Hillary Clinton. You see the ties to Democrat billionaires and dark money organizations. This is why CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, the New York Times and the Washington Post won't report on it. This is why. Now, these groups include a Jewish Voice for Peace, which between 2017 and 2022 has received $650,000 from Soros's Open Society. Its advisors include the academic Noam Chomsky and the left-wing feminist Naomi Klein. Isn't that Tucker Carlson's friend, Mr. Producer? Maybe I'm confused. No, that's Naomi Wolf. Pardon me. Correction made. JVP has been a prominent part of the protests at Columbia, and one of its student members was among a group expelled from the university for inviting the leader of a proscribed terrorist group, Khalid, to the Resistance 101 Zoom meeting. Soros has also donated $132,000 to Westpac, called in full the Westchester's People Action Coalition Foundation. You can see these massive numbers of organizations how they fund them, how they spread them around. Now, this White's Plains, New York-based nonprofit was founded in 1974 to rally for civil rights and against the Vietnam War, but it's now a major funder of anti-Israel groups, including Within Our Lifetime and Students for Justice in Palestine. That's the SJP. The SJP has also received funding from the Spark Plug Foundation, a New York-based nonprofit run by Gelman and her husband, Yoram Gelman. The couple funneled their $20,000 donation to the group through Westpac in 2022, according to the public. I know your eyes are rolling like, I can't keep track of all these groups. That's why they set them up. Gelman is on the board of the Bard Lifetime Living Institute, an offshoot of the infamously progressive college, as well as the Gen and Freedom Foundation and so forth. And they go on. And on and on. Now, this Open Society Foundation, I'll tell you what's interesting about this. The Open Society was really a book, really several books, but a book written by Karl Popper. K-A-R-L-P-O-P-P-E-R. I'm a fan of Karl Popper. Karl Popper denounced Marxism. He spent his life critiquing it. Open society in and of itself is a good thing. Apparently one of his students at one point was George Soros. George Soros is a very sick and perverse individual who apparently took the teachings and the writings of Karl Popper and has twisted them into his own cancerous, poisonous mind, doing what he does now. Doing what he does now. Now you know about Professor Bazium. You already knew about Soros. You've known about other Democrat Party billionaires and millionaires who are funding this. You know about the Hamas funding network, if you've listened to this program. George Washington University, their program on extremism has been very explicit about that, as have others. And that's what's funding our colleges and universities. Now, what do we do about this? We do have a Mark Levin solution. And the Mark Levin solution is in a book you may have read or bought called American Marxism. But I will summarize it for you, as I did the other week, when we return. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
My fellow Americans, we're living in very perilous economic times. Washington seems determined to bankrupt our nation with endless stimulus spending. As they devalue our dollar, hardworking Americans like you could lose everything. That's why I urge you strongly, register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. They'll teach you how to help guard your wealth using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver can offer a defense against the dollar's devaluation, and the experts at Advantage Gold will explain how you can convert some of your savings into precious metals that can protect and potentially grow your wealth. With currency debasement from Washington and global uncertainty on the rise, gold and silver diversification can offer you some stability. Call 800-900-8000 right now to sign up. 800-900-8000 now. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional. Mr. Producer, will you post that New York Post article I just mentioned with the following title? And just put in here, here are three of the leading Hitler youth behind the campus violence in America. They're not anti-Israel, pro-Palestine. They're Hitler youth. That's what they are. Just the new Nazis. That's all. Call them what they are. Stop playing around. We got their message, and we're responding to it. Obviously, $20 these days doesn't go very far. Let's say you drive to a fast food or a fast food drive-thru, and it's you and your wife or your husband and maybe two kids, four of you. It's going to cost you $40 or $50, which is crazy. You know, people attack fast food. I do not. It is life support for many, many people. And rather than attacking the, you know, the availability of alternative types of food, well, that's processed. Do you know where processed food, why it was invented? Because 120 years ago, people were dying of stomach cancer because they didn't know how to preserve meats, preserve fruits, and so forth. And so they would use stuff like wood chips and turpentine and horrendous things. And so the genius of the American entrepreneur and capitalist system, things began to develop over a course of time. Food became processable. Frozen food. The genius behind all of these advances. And now, of course, we attack everything. We destroy the combustion engine. We destroy oil pipelines. We destroy new methodologies for mining coal. We just destroy everything because, of course, the ideologues, the Marxists, they know everything, and yet they know nothing. Everything and nothing. So, Mr. Producer, one of these Hitler youth, well, they were very proud. I think they recorded themselves, didn't they, Mr. Producer? Basically saying that Zionists, a.k.a. Jews, should be murdered, no? This is back in January, even before the height of the kerfuffle. Now, this individual's name, I believe it's a woman, but hard to tell. His or her name is Kaimani James, student leader of the Palestinian protests at Columbia University back in January. Here's a video which appears to me she shot herself or had somebody shoot with her, Mr. Producer. Cut 14, go.
A lot of people agree that Hitler needed to die in order for world order to move forward and in order to establish some inkling of world peace. And so if we can agree as a society, as a collective, that people, that person, some persons need to die if they have an ideology that results in the death of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, if there are people like that who exist, shouldn't they die? Why would we want people who are supporters of genocide to live? I'm confused. Zionists, along with all white supremacists, need to not exist because they actively kill and harm vulnerable people. They stop the world from progressing. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yes, that's right. Now, where's the FBI tonight, now that I've played that? Where are you, FBI? Where are you, Director Ray? Is that free speech, Jake Tapper? You moron, is it? I'll be right back. This segment of the podcast is exclusively sponsored by Pure Talk. Pure Talk offers great coverage and can save your family money on your wireless bill every single month. Go to puretalk.com to find the plan that's right for you. Thank you again for listening, and thank you so much for this sponsorship, Pure Talk.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
America, Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811 on this Friday. We keep the foot on the gas pedal. We don't slough off. I want to remind you, two fantastic shows this weekend, brand new, fresh programs, 8 p.m. Eastern Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Sunday, obviously the various times in your own communities. I want to encourage you to do something, this entire audience listening to me. I want you to go ahead and schedule my Saturday show and my Sunday show on your DVR for every week so you don't have to forget about it. That is, you forget about it, but you don't have to forget about watching it. And so maybe you're out to dinner, maybe you're watching another channel, whatever you're doing. Because as I've always said, if you're not interested in it, I'm not going to do it. I'm really not. It's not for money I do it. I do it. It's a lot of work because I love talking to you. The mission is crucial. Fox asked me to add Saturday for three and a half months. I finally relented, although my wife's not happy with me. Why? Because now I do Saturday and Sunday. I have my Blaze show. I have 5 days a week radio, and I write books. And so that means a lot less time with the family and a lot less time for myself. So I work a lot, and I work hard a lot. It's my choice. I'm not whining. I'm just explaining. So I want to encourage you to go ahead and DVR the program Saturday night, every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Central, you understand. Sunday, same thing. Brand new, fresh programming. I have no more than two guests a show. So in a whole weekend, we have four guests. Now, we have a great, great show Saturday. Jonathan Yu, who was first on my program, because I knew him from a long time ago. So John Yu, professor at Berkeley Law, if you can believe it, and Douglas Murray, one of the great scholars, and freedom / humanitarians, bar none. Saturday is a killer show. Sunday is a killer show. One of the great constitutionalists, litigators, civil rights lawyers of our time, David Schoen. And Robert O'Brien, the former national security advisor to President Trump. These are four fantastic guests, but you also get, I don't call them monologues, I don't like that word, my opening statement on Saturday and on Sunday. Now, to give you an example, little inside baseball. Excuse me, cholera. When I'm going to prepare a program, we actually start the program around 11:20 or 11:30. I'm up at 6:30 in the morning preparing that program. Preparing my opening statement. Nobody does research for me. Mr. Producer, nobody. Isn't that correct? I do it myself. I try and figure out what might be interesting, what might be compelling. What do I need to deal with on Saturday? Then Sunday, that program comes, same thing. Start all over again. I'm not reading out of any monitors. I don't have staff writers. I don't have staff researchers. Look, I'm not saying, look at me, look how wonderful. I can't do it any other way. I can't do somebody else's work. Thanks to you. I'm blessed by you. I have these platforms. So I don't cut corners. Do the work. And it shows up in the radio ratings. It shows up in the digital ratings. It shows up on the Fox ratings. And it shows up on the book scale sales. You understand this. I want to get back to this Ramani James. Excuse me, a student leader in these Hitler Youth protests. Hitler Youth protests at Columbia in January. Honest to God, it's not a joke. I'm not playing games. The video's out there. I can't tell if it's a guy or a gal transitioning. And who gives a damn anyway? Here's Kamani James, cut 13, go.
And so, be glad. Be grateful that I'm not just
going out. Sounds a lot like Joy Reid. Doesn't she, Mr. Producer? Let's start over again. Go ahead.
And so, be glad, be grateful that I'm not just going out and murdering Zionists. I've never murdered anyone in my life, and I hope to keep it that way. I genuinely hope to keep it that way.
Is the FBI listening to this? Are the flunkies for the administration listening to this? Are the propagandists in the media listening to this? Are they playing this? Are they talking about this? No. I'm going to get to Jake Tapper later, a self-hater, and you'll see what I mean in a moment. Let's do cut 14 again to keep it in context. Go ahead, Mr. Producer.
A lot of people agree that Hitler needed to die in order for world order to move forward and in order to establish some inkling of world peace. And so if we can agree as a society, as a collective, that people, that person, some persons need to die if they have an ideology that results in the death of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, if there are people like that who exist, shouldn't they die? Why would we want people who are supporters of genocide to live? I'm confused. Zionists, along with all white supremacists, need to not exist because they actively kill and harm vulnerable people. They stop the world from progressing. Oh, okay. Thank you.
So the Jews need to be exterminated. That's why these chyrons on TV, the anti-Israel or pro-Palestinian protest. No, they're not. They're Hitler Youth. These are Nazis who want to exterminate the Jews, who want to destroy the United States of America, who want to take over our country. That's who they are. The Islamists and the Marxists. They have their professors. I spoke about one. They have their media mouthpieces. They have their apologists, and they have their Democrat Party and their funders, Soros and others. Dark money going through front organizations to feed Students for Justice in Palestine and all the rest of the Islamist organizations and Marxist organizations right here in our own country. They have representation in Congress with Tlaib and Omar and AOC and the other reprobates and sleazeballs with Bernie Sanders. And yes, Chuck Schumer, who gives a speech on the floor of the Senate, giving aid and comfort to this movement, and a president of the United States, Biden, whose rhetoric, whose statements about the Israeli military, the Israeli government, the Israeli prime minister, fuels this intentionally while he funds our enemy, the Iranians and the Islamo-Nazis throughout the Middle East. One more. Cut 15. Go.
We don't want a two-state. We want 48.
We want 48.
We will honor all our martyrs.
All their martyrs are the terrorists. This is Cornell University. Now, what do we do about this, America? First of all, we have to get rid of the lowlife, the loathsome Joe Biden in the Oval Office, his Secretary of State, Susan Rice types, all of them. Clean them out. Clean them out at the highest levels of government. Then we need to clean out the United States Department of State, which is a Nazi stronghold. First, a Third Reich stronghold, now an Islamist stronghold. As for these universities, we need to BDS them. Boycott, divest. That's what we need to do. And sanction. How do we do that? It's about damn time that Congress stopped funding these universities and colleges. Cut them off. Any of them that have, you know, that provide a platform for the Hitler Youth need to lose federal funds. And by federal funds, I mean Pell Grants, student loans, food services, the whole kit and caboodle. And I wonder how many of these Islamist Marxists, these Hitler Youth, I wonder how many of them had their student loans forgiven by Joe Biden. I wonder how many of them should be deported who are here on student visas. How many? And the networks that fund them need to be closed down. And the people who run these networks need to be arrested. And the professors who are fomenting terrorism and violence in our country need to be stripped of their tenure. They need to be monitored. And even arrested. And I'm not kidding. Because these universities are nothing now but little Kristallnachts taking place across the country. Pushed by guys like Bazium. And he's certainly not alone. Pushed by guys like Soros. And let me ask you, how come Soros never testifies? How come his businesses are never looked into? How come his networks and associations are never investigated? How come? Why is that? You know why? He's built a cocoon for himself. He owns the Democrat Party. He owns the Islamists. He owns the Marxists. They want his money. Now let's listen to Jake Tapper on the Constipated News Network yesterday with all this swirling around in our country. With the Hitler Youth on the move. And by the way, with Jewish kids being beaten. And we're going to have our friend Joe Pollack on here in the next hour, who writes for the wonderful site Breitbart. And Joe Pollack is a friend of mine. He's an Orthodox Jew. And apparently he was assaulted today for covering what was taking place on one of the fine universities in California. So I thought it would be nice to have him on. I'm sure he won't be on Jake Tapper's show. Because Jake Tapper's an apologist for Hamas. He uses their statistics. That's who he is. Jake Tapper is a leftist Democrat. And so here he is, cut 16, go.
Why bring up Charlottesville? Like, that is one of the ugliest moments of his presidency. And yes, we are seeing protests all over the country. Most of them peaceful. Most of them in support of Palestinian.
Most of them are not peaceful. What are you talking about, a-hole? What in the... What are the... You haven't even attended any of them. Most of them are peaceful. What are you going to do? Use Hamas spokesman next to tell you most of them are peaceful? Do you hear what they're calling for, Jake? Does that not... Listen to this. This a-hole, Jake Tapper. The MAGA movement. Make America great again. An insurrection on January 6th. 2020, multiple peaceful protests. You've got people talking about exterminating the Jews. And this clown is on CNN. That's why he's on CNN. It's a backwater network now. Most of these protests, he says, are peaceful. Peaceful. Taking over the college campuses. Eliminating graduation ceremonies, chasing off Jewish students, shutting down Hillel organizations. Jewish students prevented from going to class or locking their doors in their dorms or in the cafeteria of their libraries. The examples are multifold. Maybe CNN ought to actually report on them from time to time. And who's funding this and who's behind it? But they won't. It's a Democrat Party appendage. That's what it is. And a very ugly appendage, I might add. And so he just dismisses it. It's mostly peaceful. Mostly peaceful. Why would Trump bring up Charlottesville after all? That's the worst in our history. First of all, it's not as terrible as it was. And secondly, Jake Tapper, you've tried to make a career lying about what Donald Trump said. I've spent hours on this program over the course of many years, playing the audio, going through the text. Have I not, Mr. Producer? Every single syllable in what he said. And you're a liar. You're a filthy, good-for-nothing, self-hating propagandist for the Democrat Party. And even for Hamas by using their own statistics. And you're a mouthpiece for Biden, like everybody else on CNN, like everybody else on MSNBC. And the fact that Biden says what he says the way he says it and helps to gaslight what's taking place in this country, still not yet making a national statement or a national speech for 5 minutes talking about what's swirling around in our country and expanding in our country and in his damn party. Jake Tapper doesn't care. Jake, that's why you have no audience. You're detestable. Go ahead.
Has been some anti-Israel sentiment, and there has been some anti-Semitic sentiment, without question. But that's not what the neo-Nazis and the Unite the Right rally...
There you go. Why is he defending the Hitler Youth? Why does it matter if it's right or left? I don't even understand that. That's not what the neo-Nazis on the right... What is this on the right? We're constitutionalists. We believe in liberty. They're not on the right. The neo-Nazis are national socialists, you jerk. Fascism and Marxism, that's your party, bro. Go ahead.
That was not a peaceful march that turned into something ugly. It was ugly from the word go.
So, we agree. What does that have to do with anything? Ugly from the word go. But you've tried to turn Trump into something he's not. It's Joe Biden who was the racist. It's Joe Biden who was the segregationist. It's Joe Biden who's the anti-Semite. It's Joe Biden who's funding Iran and the Houthis and Hezbollah and Hamas. Joe Biden. While Donald Trump was supporting Israel. While Donald Trump signed an executive order to protect these students on college campuses. While Donald Trump's daughter married an Orthodox Jew and he has Jewish grandchildren. You damnable fool. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. Levin, L-E-V-I-N. Have you ever heard of the International Criminal Court, ladies and gentlemen? Probably not much. Why does it matter, right? Well, this is a court that was set up in Europe. It's in The Hague. You know, where Jack Smith used to practice law, at least claimed to. Now, the International Criminal Court has judges that are radical left-wing judges. Most are European leftists, not all. Some of them are from the celebrated Third World. And that court is being used over and over again to attempt to criminalize the very existence of the government of Israel, the state of Israel, and Benjamin Netanyahu. I want to discuss this a little bit, and I do want to get into the Trump matter as well. But this is very, very, very important for us, we the people in this country. Because this court claims jurisdiction over you and me, too. We'll be right back. Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. Levin, L-E-V-I-N.
Conservative and proud of it. Call the Mark Levin Show at 877-381-3811.
I want to thank Martha McCollum. She's a fantastic host, really. Serious journalist. Invited me on her program today. It was a pleasure. And my buddy Sean Hannity last evening. He's a good man. Absolute pleasure. Been very, 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 very busy this week because there's a lot going on and we got to push push the mission. I just sneezed to the truth.
Ooh.
All right, let's get down on this now. Because there's a lot more to cover and not enough time to cover it all. The Wall Street Journal. Well, their editorial board did a pretty good job. It says the prosecutor needs to hear from Biden and Sunak, that's the Prime Minister of Britain, before it's too late. The task placed before Karim Ahmad Khan, the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, elected in 2021, was to save a failing court with a large budget but few successful prosecutions. The ICC has wasted its prestige. Now, in considering arrest warrants, ready for this? I talked about it. Arrest warrants for Israel's political and military leaders, starting with the prime minister. The court has an opportunity to shred its credibility, too. The Israeli media is flush with reports of imminent ICC prosecutions, though there's been no official confirmation or denial. Mr. Khan's candidacy was championed by his native Britain and supported by the United States. So both countries may have influence if they warn Mr. Khan of what will happen if he criminally indicts the Prime Minister of Israel and his staff. And if they don't, President Biden and Prime Minister Rishi Sunak risk finding Americans and Britons necks under the gun. Got that? This is an international court about to go rogue. They can indict anyone they want, charge them criminally, issue warrants against Americans, against our elected leaders, against our military leaders. The Israeli high command has prosecuted a limited war in self-defense against a genocidal terrorist group, even as Hamas fights from beneath cities and behind human shields. Egypt blocks refugees' escape. Israel has a civilian to combatant casualty ratio that compares favorably with other urban conflicts. Actually, more favorably. Israel takes extraordinary measures to spare civilians, and it has disciplined and relieved officers for wrongdoing. It now facilitates a humanitarian surge, 25,000 in trucks to date, while Hamas steals aid and attacks distributors. What remains is war, the one Hamas started and is trying to win via international pressure. The ICC would subvert its own principles if it goes along with that strategy. First, the ICC prosecutor is supposed to investigate before indicting a world leader. Who does he think he is? Alvin Bragg? Not the other way around, but a proper investigation of allegations by anti-Israel NGOs has been impossible. While Gaza is a war zone and the ICC staff are busy in Ukraine, an indictment now would be highly irregular and revealing a bias of great power pressure. Second, the ICC is supposed to complement national legal systems, intervening only when they are unable to investigate. Is that really the issue with Israel's Supreme Court? Too restrained? Too pro-Benjamin Netanyahu? The Israeli court is infamous for its judicial activism and anti-government tilt. Mr. Khan has said Israel has a robust system to investigate itself. And the International Court of Justice, well, is also on the case. Far from the court of last resort it is meant to be, the ICC would be piling on. The abuse of its powers would cause Israelis to rally around the flag. The biggest winner would be Putin, whose ICC arrest warrant will have been cheapened. Another unintended consequence would be a blow to U.S.-Saudi-Israeli deal. How could the Saudis make peace with an Israeli regime branded as war criminals? And it goes on. Now, let me add my piece here. These courts, whether it's Trump or Netanyahu, are corrupt. They're not courts any more than there were courts during the French Revolution, where the guillotines were working day and night, 24/7, for a decade. This isn't law. It's not justice. This is persecution. The ICC, Donald Trump said, will have no authority over any Americans, any American officials, not now, not ever. That's the law in the United States. And yet, with this hovering on top of the Israeli government while they're fighting against the terrorists, while they're surrounded by Islamists and terrorists funded by Joe Biden and Blinken. Now this. Now let me tell you my thinking on this. Joe Biden and Antony Blinken are behind this. Why? They haven't said a word to stop it. And it's not a coincidence that this regime put out a report about war crimes around the world and put Israel at the top of the list. Not China, not Venezuela, not Iran, not all the rest of the reprobates and genocidal murderers. Israel. This is how they treat the allies, at the top of the list. No matter what Israel does, it can't win. Because Joe Biden's an anti-Semite. And Blinken's a traitor. And they have CNN to back them up. Jake Tapper. If this were to happen, terrorists around the world, Jew haters and anti-Semites around the world will be emboldened. They will be emboldened. This will give an official rubber stamp, no matter how corrupt and radical this court is, to the Jew hatred and anti-Semitism, and by the way, anti-Americanism, that's going on all over the planet. All over the planet. This will open the floodgates wide. You haven't seen anything yet. To the dangers being faced by Jewish people around the world, including in our country, and Americans around the world, including in our country. If you have an international court like this, no matter how corrupt, that issues arrest warrants for the Prime Minister of Israel, for the head of their defense, for the head of their IDF, then Jews will be targeted all over the world. That court will be cited as a justification. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not intended to be provocative or controversial. I tell you this as somebody who reads history and knows it well. With this administration, with the European Union, thank God for Hungary, with the entire world, with a few exceptions in Argentina, Hungary, and a few other countries, turning on this tiny Jewish state, with the capitals all over Europe filled with Hitlerians, with the college campuses in America, many, many of which supported the Third Reich before we were attacked by the Japanese in 1941 and war was declared by all parties, one against the other. They gave solace. They gave aid and comfort to the Third Reich, the Nazi regime. I am telling you, America, we've never seen anything like this since the 1930s. As a matter of fact, it's worse because it's not just one country, Germany. And if this arrest warrant is issued by this international organization of Europeans, against the Prime Minister of Israel and other senior officials in Israel, I gravely fear a second Holocaust at some point. Because it is giving official approval by a so-called international court with so-called international judges, even though you and I know it's a farce, it doesn't matter. I fear a second Holocaust of sorts. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. But you can see the foundation is being built. It's being built in our own country with the Islamists and the Marxists, with billionaires using dark money, with Hamas and other terrorist organizations having a funding network in the United States, the funding of our colleges by Qatar and Communist China, Iran getting a nuclear weapon. They'll blame the Jews. Again, this arrest warrant is issued. I believe it'll be not the first, but one of the biggest building blocks toward a movement that could lead to a second Holocaust. The language is the same. The target is the same. The complete unraveling of the civil society, the acceptance. Like this guy, Jake Tapper. Well, they're mostly peaceful. Complete clown. The United Nations, how they've targeted Israel and the Jews. And as I've said before, the Jews are the canary in the coal mine. Once this hate is let loose, it spreads like water. Everywhere. Everywhere. Christians won't escape it. Hindus won't escape it. Buddhists won't escape it. Nobody's going to escape it. Except those who believe they're superior. And we know what the Marxists and the Islamists think. Who they think is superior. Must history repeat itself? That's how evil and diabolical this arrest warrant will be. To give the international rubber stamp, their certificate of approval. And Joe Biden is silent. Joe Biden and Blinken put this prosecutor in the ICC. The Prime Minister of Britain put this prosecutor in the ICC. All they have to say is cut it out, don't do this, and they're absolutely silent. I believe from the bottom of my heart, the center of my soul, that Joe Biden and Blinken are behind this. I truly do. The same people who want to imprison Donald Trump, the same people who open the border no matter the horrors, the inhumanity, the slavery, the death, to hold on to power and change the very nature of the country. If this happens, and there's no pushback, pushback should happen now so it doesn't happen. Mark my words. This will be the first major shot, not the only, but the first major shot, the biggest building block towards potentially a second Holocaust down the road. I believe this. Because this will be Europe. Europe doing this. Europe. Birthplace of fascism, Marxism, and all the other isms. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin, LEVIN. And I don't believe we're going to have peace in our time anytime soon, ladies and gentlemen. The world is on the brink. You see what's happening within our own country with the Marxists and the Islamists? And yes, the Democrat Party? I shall return. In today's digital age, where cyber threats loom larger than ever, safeguarding your personal information is paramount. So why is Congress considering a law that could put your credit card data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? This Durbin-Marshall credit card bill could jeopardize your financial data, make it more susceptible to cyber intrusions. It's a controversial bill that proposes a shift in billions of dollars worth of consumer transactions to payment networks that lack the robust security measures consumers rely on. Who could possibly want that? Well, the answer, woke corporate megastores seeking to inflate their multi-billion-dollar profit margins. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill will undermine our safe and convenient payment systems and endanger your data security. It's time to take a stand. Visit electronicpaymentscoalition.org. Make your voice heard. Tell your senators to oppose the radical Durbin-Marshall credit card bill, paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Last hour of the week, our number is 877-381-3811. 877-381-3811. A reminder, 8 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, that's tomorrow night. 8 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, Life, Liberty, and Levin. I hope you'll go ahead and set your DVRs. I hope you'll watch it live. And I know it'll be worth your time. If you've watched it before, you know what I'm talking about. But these two shows are going to be spectacular. Not because of me, because the importance of the subjects and how we confront them. Another reminder, then we'll jump into what's been taking place in Manhattan, which is very ugly and stupid. How do you get Mark's podcast? The podcast is growing by leaps and bounds. How do you get it? Well, I want you to listen to terrestrial radio. I want you to listen to our satellite radio friends. There are other ways to listen to the program. But a lot of people like to listen on the podcast. It's not up to me to change your listening habits. I want you to enjoy the program on the kind of platform that you want to listen on. But it's always good to have that podcast, if you will, that app in your back pocket in case there's an issue. Like, I'll give you an example. We're switching a station in a major market. We're going to a 50,000 watt from a much smaller one. We'll be doing that soon. I'm not allowed to get into it, but you might say, well, where did he go? Where did he go? So hopefully you'll switch to the bigger station, but if not, you'll always have the podcast with you. Or let's say that we're preempted for some stupid reason. You always have the podcast, you know, whatever's convenient for you. Or maybe you're just busy when we air the program. Well, the podcast means you can listen at your leisure. So we embrace all the platforms all the time on this program. What's interesting about that, we have more platforms than almost anybody else. It's a nationally syndicated show. We're on Sirius XM Satellite. We're on YouTube. We're on Mark Levin app. We're on iHeartRadio app. We have live streaming through our local affiliates as well as through our mothership, MarkLevinShow.com, the big website. Obviously, we're on AM and FM. But the point is, if you make a decision to be on all these platforms, Well, that means that your audience is going to go to the platform they're most comfortable with. So rather than fight with your audience, you're trying to accommodate your audience. That's what I do. That's what I believe in. And so there's some hosts who just want to be on one platform, and then they brag about, look at our ratings, whether it's digital, look at our... That's fine. That's great. But we want to get to as many people as we possibly can. And even in having diversified podcast, go to marklevinshow.com. That's the mothership. That's my website. Click on Audio Rewind at the top and pick your favorite podcast platform. It's that simple. Or go to your favorite podcast platform, whatever it is, search Mark Levin Show and subscribe for free. It's very easy. And you can now find my full podcast, interviews. We also create specials on YouTube. We have our own YouTube channel. How do you do that? Go to YouTube.com at Mark Levin Show. Hello, YouTube.com at Mark Levin Show. There we are. Or search Mark Levin Show in YouTube. There we are. So there's the podcast, there's YouTube, there's satellite, there's terrestrial, and me on the corner yelling at the top of my lungs. Right, Mr. Producer? So we make it as convenient for as many of you as possible to listen to the program. Okay, President Trump. First of all, let's play that clip. President Trump comes out. The end of the trial today, Mr. Producer. And what does he say? Cut 23, go.
I just want to thank everybody for being here. I know you have to suffer through this like everybody else. Nothing has come. This is a case that should have never been brought. Every legal scholar, every legal expert, Andy McCarthy, Jonathan, Andy, every single one, Jonathan Turley came out with a scathing report on this trial today. Andy McCarthy, scathing report. Mark Levin, can't believe this is happening in our country. There's no case here. There's no case whatsoever. It's a disgrace. We have a conflicted judge, and it shouldn't be happening. Not in this country. Thank you very much.
And I discussed this extensively over the weekend. I get into the particulars, and I make points that you haven't heard yet. And so I want to encourage you to listen to the full analysis. This is what I call, you know, you've heard of the term a dead man walking, which applies to a lot of situations. Some are horrific, but nonetheless, a dead man walking. This is a dead case walking. That is, this case will be overturned on appeal. There's no question about it on multiple fronts and for multiple reasons. The problem is they're rushing this case through with this jury, with this judge, with this prosecutor, because they want a conviction. They want it before the election, and that's what they want to talk about. Not the destruction of our country by the Democrat Party and Biden, not the destruction of many countries by the Democrats and Biden, but that's what they want to talk about. And I blame this judge for allowing this case to take place at all, and you will hear my full analysis over the weekend. You've heard part of it here behind the microphone over the course of the last few months. But we're going to get into stuff like collateral evidence. And why is that important? What's collateral evidence? Collateral evidence is evidence that has absolutely nothing to do with the case, with the charges. And 48 hours ago, well, I guess by now it's probably 60 hours ago, the highest court in New York threw out the conviction of Harvey Weinstein because of collateral evidence. What's that? Again, evidence that was allowed in the trial by a trial judge, which should never have been allowed to come into the trial because it's not probative. When you get information in a case, And you're talking about other cases the defendant was involved in, or other allegations involving the defendant, or other decisions by other courts, or so that has nothing to do with a trial about specific allegations. In this case, they're not even specific, but you get my point. And so what you do is you prejudice the jury. It has no probative value in terms of what the allegations are. The purpose of bringing in evidence like that is to smear the defendant, is to make it impossible for the defendant and his lawyers to defend themselves, because they're arguing 15 different things that have nothing to do with the case. So courts all over the country say no to what we call collateral evidence. And in New York, the highest court said in the Harvey Weinstein case, we're throwing the case out because the trial judge erred horrifically. You see, it violates your due process rights under the 5th and 14th Amendments. This case will be thrown out for the same reason, among others. The collateral evidence. What does the National Enquirer, former publisher, have to do with anything? Well, he was planning stories, and we planned stories, and we always planned. So what? Now, let me touch this a little bit more, but it'll be more extensive, you know, on the weekend, just because time's running out. You have state law, you have federal law. The state law that Bragg is using involves reporting by businesses whether they report accurately. He's saying that because these non-disclosure agreements, the funding for them were reported as legal as opposed to business, that's a misdemeanor. It doesn't even matter. Why does it matter? What do you mean, Mark? The statute of limitations ran on this state statute. It's a Mickey Mouse statute. It has, if you're found guilty, a misdemeanor penalty. It's not a felony. And so what does he do? He tries to breathe life back into this misdemeanor statute that already ran years ago by pointing to a federal campaign law, even though he doesn't actually point to it. And he says, Trump did all this in violation of federal election laws. Now, I'll get into this again over the weekend, but let me ask you a question. When was Trump charged with violating federal election laws by any federal entity? Never. Let alone found guilty. He was never charged. He was never found guilty. So what is Bragg saying? Federal election law, number one, it's not his jurisdiction. And number two, you can't just claim that he violated a federal election law and therefore it revives your state statute and then raises it to a felony. That's why the judge is a clown. He's a farce. He's a hack. This judge needs the same voters as Alvin Bragg, out of the same jurisdiction in Manhattan. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
I want to welcome our friend Joe Pollack from Breitbart. We both crossed paths briefly in Israel, matter of fact. Joel, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very well. You have a piece up at Breitbart, and I read it, and I want you to tell the American people what happened to you when you were trying to cover an event, and what event that was. Go right ahead.
So I went down to UCLA here in Los Angeles to take a look at the pro-Palestinian encampment, as they call it, or the Palestine Solidarity encampment that they set up there. And I brought my Breitbart News press credential, which I was wearing around my neck, and I wanted to be sure that people understood I was a journalist, and I thought I would just walk across the encampment and take some video so people could see what this was. And if you look
now,
online,
hold on 1 minute. Were you wearing your kippah?
I was wearing a hat, so I didn't go there.
Same thing.
Openly, yeah. But I went there and began filming around the encampment. Now, what's really interesting is they set this encampment up and they surrounded it with plywood and scrap furniture, kind of like a barricade. And the university appears to have set up steel railings now around these barricades as if the university itself is closing off the encampment. There are entrances on two sides, and I went to the side that said media sign-in. So I went up to the people who were standing around that entrance. They were wearing bright fluorescent jerseys, and I said, I'm from the media. I want to sign in. I want to check in. I would like to visit the encampment. And there were other journalists around, not in the encampment, but on the stairs of nearby buildings, doing setup shots and things like that, taking photographs. And they told me there was nobody to talk to me right now, but maybe later. And I said, well, I'm just going to come and walk around for a couple of minutes. And they said, okay, but you have to wear a mask. So I said, okay, you know, some people are hyper nervous about coronavirus. It later occurred to me that they're all wearing these coronavirus masks to try to hide their identities. But anyway, I put the mask on. I started walking around inside and filming. And all of a sudden, I was confronted by these activists who started holding up their keffiyehs to try to prevent me from filming. Now, this is a public university, and it's a public square in the public university. I have as much right to be there as they do. And they started saying, you're violating the rules of the encampment. I said, well, the rules of the encampment are the United States Constitution, and I have a First Amendment right as a journalist to be here and to document what's going on. And they tried to stop me. They tried to obstruct me. Eventually, they linked arms, and collectively, about a dozen of them started pushing and shoving me toward the gate to push me back out. And it's very clear that they are doing this. One woman even says, okay, now push. And that's assault. That's just common assault. And I got to the outside. I let them push me, although I stood my ground. I didn't make it easy for them, but I didn't push back too hard. And, or at all, really, I just let them push me. And I get to the outside, and there are a phalanx of journalists photographing and filming what's happening, standing outside the encampment. So I turned to the journalists and I said, how do you let this happen? This is a public square. This is a public university. All of you should be in there taking photographs and filming, and you're letting them push you around. These are undergraduates who are violating the law. They're violating the Constitution. And you have a First Amendment right to be there, just like I do. And we should be showing the American people what this is about. So what I learned today is that it's not about the Palestinians. It's not about the Middle East. This is about an attempt to overthrow our American values. They say they're for freedom for the Palestinians. They're against freedom for Americans. How is it that our public universities and private, but especially the public ones, have allowed these kids to set up barricades and to exclude members of the public and members of the media as if they own that space, as if they have the right or some kind of permission to do that? They're there illegally. They're violating the civil rights of everybody on that campus. And the university is allowing this to go on. And that's what's happening. This is not about anything positive for the Palestinians. There were hateful slogans there, some of the usual rhetoric that you see. But more immediately, it's just a violation of our rights as Americans to be treated this way. And the universities are allowing it to happen.
The universities are allowing it to happen, and so is the federal government. There's a lot of federal money that flows into these universities. And Joe Biden doesn't really even talk about it. Isn't that problematic, too?
Well, you know who's also very silent? Merrick Garland is silent. And Kristen Clark, who's the head of the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division, is silent. Now, there's a Department of Education Office of Civil Rights that is investigating some of these universities. But as you've documented and talked about repeatedly on your show, this is not just a problem of universities. These protests are funded and organized by national and sometimes international organizations. The Department of Justice Civil Rights Division should be investigating these organizations and these networks and all the people who fund them, because they are violating the civil rights of journalists. They're violating the civil rights of Jewish students at Columbia and other campuses, at UCLA, where Jewish students feel intimidated. And they're violating the civil rights of Americans. You can't close off a public square and physically exclude people from being in there. You know, the funniest part of the whole thing, aside from the kind of hippie music that was being played the entire time, kind of like a Woodstock sort of vibe. The funniest thing was, as they're pushing me, they're shouting, "Peaceful protest, peaceful protest." These are not peaceful protests. If you're excluding people by force, that is violence.
Joe Pollack, I'd like to hold you over the break. One more segment with our friend Joe Pollack at Breitbart. Fantastic site. And Joel's fantastic, too. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin, the thunder on the right. Call in now, 877-381-3811.
You know, Joe Pollack, Jake Tapper and these other people, this is mostly peaceful, they say. Well, to the Jewish students on these campuses, it's not mostly peaceful, it's terrorizing. And many of them have been victimized, and many of them can't go to their graduation ceremonies, can't finish their classes, can't wear their symbols that they wear on their bodies, can't do a whole lot of things. Do you think part of the problem is the way the media cover this, whether it's CNN or MSNBC or the rest of them?
The media are covering these protests as if they're pro-Palestinian protests. They're not also covering the fact that they are excluding Jewish students from Columbia. They're excluding journalists from encampments just about everywhere. They're not covering their own suppression. I mean, the journalists are being physically barred entry to public spaces, violating their First Amendment rights, and they're not telling the American people that this is what's happening. That's not a peaceful protest. A peaceful protest respects the rights of other people to have their point of view, to exercise their freedom of assembly, their freedom of the press. These kids want their view to be the only view. That's why they set up these encampments. That's why they set up barricades. That's why they have to use violence to keep people out. You know, what's interesting, Mark, as a journalist, I'm sure you get these pitches all the time. I get pitches from people all the time who want me to cover their protest or their idea. This is the opposite. These kids don't want journalists to cover what they're talking about, what they're saying to each other, what their posters say, what they're writing in Arabic sometimes. They don't want people to know their real views. They just want to be able to have this symbolic confrontation with authority. And they're winning in a lot of places because the university administrators and faculty share these students' radical beliefs. They're just sitting in air-conditioned offices, and they have tenure, and they don't want to lose their jobs or their comforts. But the students are doing what the professors have taught them to do. Across from the encampment at UCLA, there were some employees of UCLA holding a banner that said, "Faculty and staff support UCLA students." And I asked them, "Do you support them using violence to exclude members of the media?" And they said, "Well, they don't have a position on that." And they said they're just there to prevent the students from being arrested. But the students are committing crimes, and they're violating university policies. They're violating California state law. They're violating the U.S. Constitution. So the faculty and staff are not all, but are generally supportive of these students and opposed to any attempt to enforce not just the law, but basic fairness. You can't take over part of a university and exclude people who have different views or who just want to go about their business from entering that space. These kids don't want to debate. They don't want to engage. They don't want publicity for what they really believe. They just want the fight. And they're willing to use violence. And they're very well trained. I heard them say to each other, "Link arms," which meant that they had drilled for this. They had practiced this. Somebody had taught them how to do this. And they surrounded me. And with their arms linked, they pushed. And, you know, it was like a rugby game where you have the scrum and everybody's pushing in one direction. Of course, I'm just standing there. And even though I'm 180 pounds and I'm in pretty good shape, I can't stop 12 people. And they just pushed me and I basically let them do it. But that's not a peaceful protest. That's not what we should be teaching kids about free speech and debate. They're not interested in debate. They can't debate. And they don't want you to photograph their sign. I mean, some of them are the usual funny ones like Queers for Palestine, you know, as if Hamas treats gay kids or gay people with any kind of respect. But there are other ones that call for the elimination of Israel. And apparently, I didn't confirm this myself, but I've seen other photographs of signs in Arabic that apparently say that they want to bomb Tel Aviv. So they don't want you to see that part of it. And they can't defend what they're doing. They just want this confrontation, and they want to be able to push the university administration around and win concessions. And the sad thing is they're winning at a lot of these places. Columbia gave the students a midnight deadline to clear out their encampment last night. Midnight came and went. They backed away from the deadline, and now they're negotiating over whether they're going to divest from Israel or whatever. They're rewarding violent behavior, and that's why it continues.
In the few minutes I have left here, Joel Pollack, the International Criminal Court apparently is on the precipice of issuing an arrest warrant against the Prime Minister of Israel and top officials in the Israeli government. The Biden administration has been absolutely silent, which tells me that they're the invisible hand in part that's behind this. And I believe if this is done, it's going to set off a wave throughout Europe and elsewhere of even further dangerous, violent anti-Semitism, because now we will have this so-called international court making a finding without even taking any evidence. It doesn't need evidence. We know what it's up to. Aren't you astonished that it's basically just Republicans in Congress who are objecting to this, not Democrats in Congress and not this administration?
That is astonishing, but it's not entirely unexpected. You know, some of these radical protesters surrounded Chuck Schumer's house in Brooklyn earlier this week, and he was the one who called for unleashing the whirlwind against the Supreme Court justices. So they do this kind of thing. They unleash the mobs, they unleash the hate, they unleash the International Criminal Court, and they don't realize they're going to get the same treatment in the end. You know, one of the reasons the United States, under both Republican and Democratic administrations, has refused to join the International Criminal Court is because it could go after American soldiers, American servicemen and servicewomen, for whatever some rogue nation decides is a war crime, as we're overseas fighting against terrorists. And the United States understands full well that we would be dragged, or our soldiers would be dragged defenseless in front of these international tribunals by rogue nations, by the Russias and Irans of the world. You know, the UN has a habit of putting Iran in charge of things like women's rights and disarmament, and things like that. So we don't trust these international institutions, and we shouldn't. But what the Biden administration doesn't seem to understand is that what goes around comes around. And when they talk about sanctioning units of the Israeli military, and when they talk about allowing the International Criminal Court to pursue Israeli officials for entirely lawful actions, it's going to come to us. Now, Donald Trump stood up to these people and he said any member of the International Criminal Court who investigates American servicemen and servicewomen is going to have sanctions placed on them, and they're going to be denied visas and entry into this country. But Biden reversed that, and he has definitely taken a different approach to the Human Rights Council and the International Criminal Court, and they are definitely playing footsie with these institutions. And they're putting all of us at risk, because if our soldiers and our sailors and Marines can't defend us, and they have to face the judgment of these international institutions that are so corrupt, then we're all going to be less safe.
It's so contemptible, so diabolical what's going on here, that we have this international court, and it'll be used by all the Jew haters and anti-Semites all over Europe, all over the world, as some kind of an official certification that the prime minister is a criminal, that his government's criminal, and that the state of Israel's criminal, war criminals. And the idea, and I believe the invisible hand of the Biden administration has a role in this, because they won't speak out against it, is so contemptible. Did you ever imagine that you'd have an American administration that almost daily finds a reason to trash the state of Israel while it's funding Iran and its Islamist terrorist surrogate groups? Did you ever imagine something like this?
Well, we saw some foreshadowing of it with Barack Obama, who, especially in the last lame duck weeks of his presidency, tried to declare the Jewish presence in Jerusalem, which goes back millennia, tried to declare it illegal at the United Nations. So we saw some inkling of it. But now, under the Biden administration, the same junior officials in the shadows who made those kinds of decisions, they're back and they're in charge, and they're doing exactly the same thing, allowing these horrific resolutions to pass at the United Nations. And once in a while, they stand up for what's right, because Israel basically says, you can't do this to us without undermining your own security. And, you know, they hate it when Netanyahu goes on TV here, because he's so good at making the arguments that the American public wakes up and says, wait a minute, what's going on here? But it is astonishing. And what's even worse, again, is that
I've got 1 minute.
The Biden administration does understand that Hamas is not just about attacking Israel. They killed Americans on October 7th. They have American hostages now as we speak. And Biden has given up on them. He is not defending Americans.
All right, my friend. Fantastic job. It was good seeing you at the airport, Tel Aviv. And keep up the great work. We always enjoy reading it at Breitbart.
Thanks, Mark. And thanks for everything you do. And thanks to the listeners.
There you go. That's Joel Pollack. He's one of the greats, really. Great independent journalists. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
So in an interview with Howard Stern. What happened to Howard Stern, Mr. Blue? He's gone not just mainstream, he's gone lamestream. He supports all these institutions that he used to rail against. All these politicians he used to rail. What the hell has happened to this guy? So he claims on the Howard Stern show today that he got arrested standing on the porch with a black family during the civil rights movement. He's a liar. He claims women sent him very salacious pictures and he then sent them to the Secret Service when he was a senator. No, he actually molested Tara Reid. Nobody was sending him pictures. This is how sick he is. He claims he saved half a dozen lives as a lifeguard. The man is not only a pathological liar, he's in the Twilight Zone. He's a nut. He's a crackpot. So people who vote for him, well, they're crazy ass too. You want to know the truth? Well, here we are. We go to America every Friday in honor of you. Here we go. folks, I'm not going to be able to do the usual Friday night sign-off. I'm losing my voice. But I wish each and every one of you a fantastic weekend, some rest, some happiness. We're blessed to have each other. I hope you'll tune in on Life, Liberty, and Levin Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, or set your DVR. And I want to salute all the heroes out there. I want to say goodnight to all our beautiful little doggies. Goodnight to my family members who've passed away as well. And I'm sure you feel the same way about yours. We will come through this together. We're not going anywhere. Nobody's going to push us around. In fact, it's our turn. It's our generation's moment to save this country for our children and our grandchildren and their posterity. See you tomorrow night on Life, Liberty, and Levin. See you Monday on the radio.